Praise the Lord. If you would, open your Bible to the book of Philemon. Philemon has one chapter. The book of Philemon. I believe it's something that God has spoken to me by His Spirit to do. As a minister of the gospel, to examine from the scriptures the redemptive work of Christ and the fullness of it, but not just when we think of, you know, of spiritual things, thank God for that. Physical things, thank God for that. But then also in the mental realm, the realm of the soul, the mind, and the emotions. And if Jesus has not provided redemption for that, then redemption is not finished. But how many of you know Jesus has finished the work? And He's provided redemption. Redemption means purchased, paid a price. So that the whole man, spirit, soul, and body might be free. Glory to God. And I know that for so long, and the reason I bring this up this way is but that for so long, I believe that there's been a stigma in the church world that to have mental, and most of it, I'll just be honest with you, has to do with anxiety. A big part of it has to do with anxiety. But there's been a stigma placed, almost a condemnation, which should never be in the church, upon people who struggle in these areas. Amen. You know, the devil doesn't care what area you struggle in as long as you struggle. He wants to hinder you. He wants to keep you in bondage. He wants to keep you from doing what God called you to do. The devil doesn't care if you die and go to heaven. Just get out of his way here. And if he can hinder you, if he can tie you, limit you while you're on the earth, then he's happy. But I want you to know tonight there's freedom from anxiety in Christ. I want you to look at Philemon here. Let's look at verse 6. I'm going to read this from the King James. And then I want to read this from the Amplified, the newer Amplified, not the classic, but the newer one. The classic's good, but I like the way the Amplified. Hang on a second. Oh, technology. Hang on, praise the Lord. Technology's good, sometimes I'm not. How about you found that out? All right. He says here that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication, just to help us understand, that what is the partnership, the fellowship, the participation of our faith. See, some of communication, some have translated it to sharing, but the word actually means partnership, fellowship, and participation of our faith, that it might become effectual. The word effectual means active and powerful. How many of you want to have effective faith? All right. Well, that you can understand then why the devil's going to try to do everything he can do to keep you from having effective faith, powerful and active faith. By the acknowledging, the recognition, the full discernment, the precise, I love this definition, the precise and correct knowledge of every good thing that is in you already. Because why? It's not in us because of who we are. It's in us in Christ Jesus. The Amplified here says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective and powerful because of your accurate knowledge of every good thing which is ours in Christ. Accurate knowledge of every good thing that is ours, which is ours in Christ. How many of you know if any man is in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we're new creatures. Old things have passed away. Now we want to, sometimes if we're not careful, we just limit that to the spirit man. We know it's the spirit man that gets born again. But old things, you know, we don't have to be bound by the old anxieties and cares of life, right? Look over in, and I told him, I said, I knew my start. I gave him a whole list of scriptures, but I'm already going off the grid here. Is that all right? But I want you to look at Mark chapter 4 with me for just a moment. Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Now you say, well, I don't have problems with anxiety. I'll guarantee you know somebody that does. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you didn't know it wasn't all about you, right? I remember Brother Hagin saying that, he said, you know, he had learned, and I can't remember who said this, but continually feed yourself in areas of faith and healing, because either you or someone you know is going to need it. Here tonight, you know, if you're here and you don't, you know, anxiety and, you know, that aspect of life, and I'm talking about, you know, there are people that become paralyzed from anxiety. You know, I've been reading here recently about ministers that are taking anxiety medication. Amen. Well, again, don't go into condemnation. Just like, and you know, if you any of you taking an aspirin lately, or you know, that type of thing. But having to take, well, and the reason is because I don't think we as a body of Christ have gone after this area of mental health from God's standpoint, and that the blood of Jesus is enough to free us from our anxieties. Now here's another, one of the ways the word anxiety is translated is found here in Mark 4 verse 19. It says, and the cares of this world, everybody say cares of this world. Well, other translations actually say the anxieties of this world. The deceitfulness, the riches, lust of other things enter in, it becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world, the anxieties of this world entering in. That tells me this, it comes from the outside. It is so, listen to me, it is so demonic. No, brother, I don't believe in demons. That's all right. The devil loves you not to believe in him. But it's so demonic, the attack, right? That it not only paralyzes the mind. You know, there was years ago, some people, why you would ever get in a barrel and start to go over the Niagara Falls, I don't know why. But they used to have this also, these boats, and a guy got stuck out there on top of the falls, all right? When he went out in the whatever he was in, the man had dark hair. By the time they rescued him, his entire head had turned white with hair. It's a true story. Anxiety. Fear. Amen. Fear is the number one weapon the devil has. Fear of death, I call that the grandfather of all fears. That's kind of the big one. But you know, for the Christian, we should never fear death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah. There's no sting in death for us. Glory to God. We're going to walk just totally free of it. But the cares of this world entering in, the anxieties of this world entering in, other translations say it chokes the word. It chokes the word. It chokes the word. Why? Because it puts your thought life on the anxiety, the fear, instead of on the word of God. All right? Look over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read some of these from the Amplified Classic Version. Here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said some statements here that I believe will help us in dealing with this. Verse 25 of Matthew 6, please. This is the Amplified Classic Version. Therefore, I tell you, Stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Now see, here's the answer. Instead of looking at all of that, look at this. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth more than they? You know, one of the things that anxiety does is it attacks at the root our biblical self-worth, our Bible-based self-worth. Now listen, if I'm trying to get my self-worth based on anything else other than the Bible, then I'm looking at the wrong source. Amen. We need a Bible-based self-worth, and you need to know your worth. Now, I'm gonna help you here. I'm gonna help you know how valuable you are. All right? The value of anything, just think about it, in the earth, is determined not by the price that's laid upon it, but by what anybody's willing to pay for it. Right? I mean, you could say, I want this amount of money for it, but if nobody will pay you for it, that much for it, it's not worth that much. The worth is determined by what someone will pay for it. God determined your worth, that you were so valuable that all the silver, all the gold, all the minerals, all the resources of this earth was not enough to pay and buy you out of slavery, to redeem you. It took the most precious thing that's ever existed on this earth, the most valuable thing above all that other put together, the righteous blood of the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And that blood was shed for you. And that blood, we've been redeemed by that blood, bought out of that position. So if I let anything other than that determine my self-worth, then I've taken my eyes and I've taken it off God's view of me and I've put it over on the cares of this world that are trying to enter in to do what? Choke off that image of God, that image that God has of you. Amen? Now listen, I didn't say you feel valuable. How many of you just feel so valuable every day? Well, I've never met anybody that just, I just feel so wonderful. I just feel valuable every day. No, you don't necessarily feel it. That's where we've got to, you know, we're faith people, right? Don't we call things to be not as though they were? Hallelujah. I want to keep reading here. And who by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure, cubit, to his stature or span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his excellence, dignity, and grace. Students are laughing because I mispronounce words all the time. Was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and green and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, how will he not much more surely clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. He's talking to you tonight. He's talking to you tonight about your value. We're looking at the word. He's talking to you tonight about how valuable you are. I don't care. Listen, I don't care how far down the devil's beating you. I don't care how far down in depression and oppression you might be. I'm telling you tonight, you're valuable to God. And if you'll just reach out and take hold of even one of these scriptures, it'll bring you up out of what the devil's trying to do to you. Amen. And along with that, I'm going to say this. If the children of God are so valuable to God, what should they be to us? Amen. I mean, we hear somebody, now listen to me. I'm talking to all of us here. We hear somebody, so-and-so, they've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Oh, prayer, we pray. Oh, we start praying. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. But what do we do when we find out somebody, a Christian's had an anxiety attack? Well, what's wrong with them? They know, they should know not to worry. I didn't point my finger at you. I said we. We. One of the things that's going to bring healing, one of the things that's going to bring freedom to those that are tormented like with anxiety is a accepting, loving, welcoming, get in the mud with you family of God that just won't leave you there, get you out, get you cleaned up, put the robe, the ring back on your finger, the robe around your back, and bring you in and slaughter the fatted calf and let's have a party. Right? Not condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ. There is none. Let's not be a part of it. Look at Isaiah 53. Like I said, I've been on a quest. I know more than I did before, but I'm still on a quest. I know there's more because I know that there's so many in the body of Christ that are suffering with anxiety and the cares of the world, and it just seems like it never stops. But there is, if Jesus is who I think he is, then there's freedom from that. Isaiah 53, I'm in the King James here. Verse 4 and 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now just take those words at face value. We've studied them enough, a lot of us, to know that it means pains, it means sickness and disease there also. But just your grief. Jesus has borne it for you. Your sorrow. Jesus has borne your sorrow for you. And what he bore, we need not bear. In other words, what he carried, we don't have to carry. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Peace belongs to the child of God. What the word chastisement there means this: the price that needed to be paid to obtain peace, just as the price was paid for our sins to be forgiven, the price was paid for our bodies to be healed, the price was paid for us to have peace. Whoo, glory to God. Now, peace doesn't mean absence of conflict. It means in the middle of the conflict, I've got peace. It means when the storms of life are coming. It means when the thoughts are attacking. The thoughts just keep coming. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. Look at you. You're this. You should be that. And all these thoughts that are negative that come against us. Right? And you know, sometimes it gets to be so big on people and so much consuming them that they do the very thing that would bring them help, is they withdraw from people. They withdraw from church. They withdraw to inside themselves when really the answer is to let that go out of you and let people love you. But are there people to love them? Let's think about that. Are we there to love people that are dealing with anxiety and the cares of the world, the cares of this life? Amen. I know we're to cast the care. We know that. We know there's those things, cast the care over on the Lord. But what about this idea of peace here? Peace. You know, the peace of God is something that is such a powerful, powerful thing. Look at Isaiah 26. It's not, you know, I think sometimes we've let words just become religious words. And we don't know. When the Bible talks about peace, And the words that were used, and the word that is used for peace most of the time in the Old Testament, is a word that we've kind of made an English word, shalom. And it's not just, you know, it means that at the entirety of your being, may you have God's blessing in your life. Look at Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Here's one of the keys now. If you're dealing with anxiety, you're dealing with these type of things, here's one of the keys for you. He said, he's speaking to God. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. The Amplified Classic here says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. If you're dealing with anxiety, I want to encourage you tonight, lean on God. Lean on in. Don't withdraw. Lean in. Lean in. That kind of helps me understand a little bit. In Ephesians, Paul told us, he said, by the Spirit of God, he said, be renewed in the spirit or the attitude of your mind. You know, there's a difference. There's a different attitude about leaning in than there is to withdrawing, stepping back. Lean in. Lean in to God. Lean into the people of God. Now notice to keep your mind stayed on it. Continually think on. Look over in Philippians chapter 4. Here it says it, there's almost the same thing with a little bit more added to it here in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. I didn't plan on necessarily, but you know, you need to get Pastor Bill's sermon on joy. Because he talked about the other part of this. Amen. Don't fret. Don't have any anxiety. Go to God. Amen. And rejoice. Rejoice. And then after you rejoice, watch your thinking. Watch your thinking. Amen. Watch your thinking. Look here at verse 8 of Philippians 4. King James says, finally, my brethren. That includes sistering too, right? All right, some of you didn't get that. That's all right. Ask somebody on the way home, you'll get it. Whatsoever things are true, that's the word of God. All this is actually going to be the word. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Now, we're going to have to learn how to catch negative thoughts. Now, let me talk to you ladies. Obviously, for me to stand up here and say I understand you ladies is a bold-faced lie. But you know, you stand and you put on some clothes, you look in the mirror, and all these negative thoughts, oh, I just look horrible. You're playing with the devil. Amen. Amen. And then you married ladies, you ask them impossible questions to your husband. There's no right answer. Oh, baby, you look nice. You look good. Well, I don't think I. Well, what did you want me to say? I got husband and wives looking at each other all over the room. They're like, But see, I'm telling you this, don't play with it even in those areas. What is of a good report? And if you don't like the report, start going about to change it. Amen. Here again, lean in, don't retreat, fall on the floor and cry. Or if you do cry, get up. Don't stay there. Right? Get up. Be like Pastor Hagin. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. But he says, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Now, what did he say in Isaiah? Keep your mind fixed. Keep your mind fixed. And what's the result? Peace. Peace. Look at verse 7, back up a verse. After you have prayed, after you have rejoiced, after these things, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. More and more, I'm seeing that what God did through Jesus Christ to help. We know his healing power, how it works, our physical body drives out sickness and disease. The thing that drives out anxiety, that drives out care and worry, is the peace of God. And the peace of God comes with renewing our mind and thinking on the things that the Word says about us. Amen. However, that works in every area, even physical area and all that. So that tells me this. There is a way to minister to people who have anxiety. There is a way to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is how we're going to do it tonight. I want everybody to just close your eyes right now. Because one of the things in dealing with it, but I want you to, if you are dealing with anxiety of any kind, or it's something that the devil uses against you, there is no condemnation at all. I had everybody close their eyes so that you could not have that anxiety added on it. I'm not going to have you come forward, but I want you to raise your hand right now. And I want you to keep your hand up. Just keep your hand up. Keep it up right now. No one's looking around. It's just me. All right. Of course, the Lord, he's looking at right now. Here's how he's been leading me and talking to me about it. All right? On the count of three, I'm going to make a declaration over you. And when I say it, I want you to receive it. Keep your hand up now. Don't get weary. One, two, three, peace in Jesus' name. I break the power, take authority over that anxiety in Jesus' name. Now just receive it. Just receive. There's peace right now. There's peace flowing in this place. Just like the healing power and the anointing of God, there's peace flowing in this place right now. Just peace. Just peace. Calm assurance. Peace, 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 peace. Oh, the peace of God. If you're a child of God, it's in you. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit in you. And greater is the peace that's in you than the turmoil and the anxiety and the care that's in the world. You've got great peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but it comes from God. Calm assurance. Right now, Father, I just thank you for these. Let's just all lift our hands right now. Everybody, just lift your hand and thank God for peace. All of us need it. All of us need peace. All of us need peace. All of us need it in times of turmoil, times of anxiety, when the cares of this world that come to all of us. But thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The peace of God, peace of God, peace of God, peace of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The peace of God, hallelujah. Now those of you that raise your hands, you're going to have to take control of your thought life. But one of the things you can do is start speaking peace. The Bible says we're supposed to speak peace to Jerusalem. Well, speak peace to yourself. I speak the peace of God over my life today. I thank you, Father, that I lay down tonight and I sleep in peace. I thank you, Father God, that today I have peace. Father, no matter what happens today, I'm going to walk in peace. See, let your faith become effective. Acknowledge what's in you. Father, the peace of God is in me. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. And you're in me and I'm in you. And if you're the Prince of Peace, then peace is in me. Greater is the peace that's in me than the turmoil and anxiety that's in the world. Hallelujah. I've got great calmness and assurance, Lord. I thank you today. No matter what happens today, I've got peace. 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 Hallelujah. I've got peace. Never, never attach your peace to any other person. Attach it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody else be an influencer on your peace. Let the Word of God, let God be true and every man a liar. Anything that comes against my peace. Now, here's the thing about peace. Peace isn't weak. It's not passive. Peace is active and powerful. It's active and powerful. Hallelujah. Now, I know I spoke very loudly and very forceful when I spoke peace in the name of Jesus. But don't play with the devil. Don't play with him. Knowing that most of this is demonic attack, I wanted to speak so he could hear in case he all of a sudden got hard of hearing. But in Jesus' name, peace. Peace. Oh, we got peace right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your peace, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Hallelujah. Great peace have those whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep us, Lord God. Keep us in your peace. Hallelujah. We speak peace over our lives, over our minds, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for peace. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our prayer team is going to come down at the end of the service. If you need prayer for anything, you come talk to them, ladies. Come to the ladies, men, come to the men. But before we go, we are going to receive a second offering tonight for our First Lady of our church, Mrs. Hagen. Glory to God. Her birthday's coming up here on the 13th of May. And we want to present her with just a wonderful birthday present, as we always do. And so we're going to receive that offering. If you want to text to give, type Hagen. Put a space, the amount 28950. You can write a check, make it out to Rhema Bible Church, put it in an envelope, put out for Mrs. Hagen's birthday. In that, if you want to give cash towards that, whatever goes in this offering is going to go to Mrs. Hagen, all right, to honor her. And just think about it. I mean, they were here last Sunday, got on a plane, flew to North Carolina, preached 3 days there, flew to Virginia, preached 3 days there, flew back Friday night, got back here late Friday night. Spent yesterday, who knows what doing. I don't know what I'd have been doing, but I don't know what they did. Guy came here this morning and preached. Hallelujah. Wasn't that a great altar call this morning? Wasn't that just a blessing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, they do that because they love people, and we want to share our love with them. Amen. So right now, if you'll just hold your offering up there, let's pray and believe God over this. Father, we thank you for Mrs. Hagen. We thank you for her birthday. Father, we thank you as we give towards her. We honor her, and our Father, that she be blessed beyond measure in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and receive that offering. If you would, kind of hold tight till our ushers are able to clear the aisles and get that offering where it needs to be. Amen. We have the best ushers in the world. What's Pastor Bill say? The fastest offering taker uppers in this side of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope you heard me tonight and hear where I'm coming from. You may not deal with anxiety, but I almost guarantee you know somebody that does. Help them. Help them. Be there for them. Be there for them. I don't know why I keep here. Be there ready to pour in the oil and the wine. The oil of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, and the wine of God's word that brings recovery. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just about, they're just about clear here. We'll let them, as soon as that, we'll all, as soon as they get clear, I'll have you all stand up. Hallelujah. Any of our college weekend guests, you're still here? Still here? Oh, praise God. Good to see you. Amen. I'm so glad you're with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Almost, they almost got them all. Here we go. All right, would you all stand, please? Everybody stand up together. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Father, I thank you that I'm redeemed. And I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, I have peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed tonight.